Moshe has an anger problem. He's usually able to keep it under control. By nature, he's a quiet man, a brooder. He carries out his duties faithfully, as both a mouthpiece of God and a defender of the people. But the tension between these two roles pulls at him constantly, keeps him agitated. Sometimes the pressure gets too high, and he explodes. His fury boils up again in this week's Parsha, just after the Israelites have gone to battle with the Midianites and are returning to Moshe to deliver the spoils of their victory. Vayiktzof Moshe al pikudei ha'chayil, sarei alafim v'sarei ha'meot, habayim mitzva ha'milchama. Moshe became angry, vayiktzof, with the commanders of the army, the officers of thousands and the officers of hundreds who had come back from the military campaign. And why is he so angry with them? The reason is as disturbing as the rage itself. Vayomer lehem Moshe, hachiyitem kol nekeva, hein heina hayu livnei Yisrael bidvar bilam, limsar ma'al b'Hashem. Moshe said to them, why have you spared all the females? For they were the very ones who, at the bidding of Bilam, caused Israel to rebel against the Eternal. Even as the Israelites cut down their enemies by the thousands, it seems they followed some basic military code of mercy. Spare the women and children. And that is what sets Moshe on a tirade. They should have killed the women, storms Moshe. Those women were the greatest sinners of them all. This unsettling outburst catches Rashi's attention. It's as if he's been watching Moshe for a while now, noticing a pattern of behavior. But Rashi says nothing just yet. He waits until a few verses later to make his point, when Aaron's son Eleazar begins speaking to the troops. Vayomer Eleazar ha-Kohen el anshei ha-tzava ha-baim le-milchama, zot chukat ha-Torah, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Eleazar the priest said to the soldiers who had come in from the war, this is the decree of the Torah that the Eternal commanded Moshe. Eleazar then goes on to explain how to purify foreign metal vessels for general use. Nothing too exciting. But this is odd. Why is Eleazar the one giving this kind of instruction? Shouldn't Moshe himself be communicating the law to the people? So Rashi answers, Vayomer Eleazar Kohen, Eleazar the priest said, Lefi sheba Moshe liklal kas ba liklal ta'ut. Because Moshe came to a state of anger, he began to make mistakes, and the law of purging foreign vessels eluded him. Rashi is blaming Moshe's temper for his inability to remember the laws that God spoke to him. This is a serious charge. For the suggestion is that when Moshe loses control in this way, he gets rattled and unfocused, and he ceases to be able to perform his primary function as a prophet. And Rashi does not stop at this one accusation. For he has seen this problem before, and with a deft bit of parshanut, he links us back to a similar moment earlier on. V'chen ata motze b'shmini lemiluim, shenemar, v'yiktzof al Eleazar, Va'al Itamar, baliklal kas, baliklal ta'ut. And so you find also during the eighth day of the inauguration of the tabernacle, it says Moshe became angry at Eleazar and Itamar. He came to a state of anger, so he began to make mistakes. Rashi highlights the usage of the same verb for becoming angry, vayiktzof, back there in the book of Leviticus. In the aftermath of Aaron's oldest son's deaths, the priestly family had gathered to eat a meal outside the sanctuary. Moshe became enraged, for the priests are supposed to eat all the offerings in a designated place. In this case, a furious obsession with ritual precision blinds Moshe to the human tragedy standing before him. Does he not have gentler words for a family that has just suffered such a tremendous loss? Again, Moshe's anger is mixed up with a lack of sensitivity to the content and context of his message. And again, Rashi points out, this anger causes Moshe to forget the law. Aaron calmly replies that one cannot eat in the sanctuary on a day of mourning. Vatikrena oti ka'ele, v'achalti chatat hayom, heyitav v'yinei Hashem. After such things have befallen me, had I eaten a sin offering today, would the Eternal have approved? Moshe immediately recognizes that Aaron is correct. Of course, Aaron is grieving the loss of his children. How could he have been expected to perform his ritual duties on the very day that his sons had died? But Moshe wasn't thinking clearly. His mind was too clouded with rage. Rashi's suggestion that anger can lead to error is not too surprising. He's following a well-established rabbinic critique of anger, most famously formulated in the Talmud by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, as follows. Hamekareb gadav bechamato, vehameshaber kelav bechamato, vehamefazer ma'otav bechamoto, yehebenecha ka'ovid avodah zarah. Anyone who rips his clothes in anger, or breaks vessels in anger, or throws his money into the air in anger, you should regard them as if they had committed idolatry. For this is the practice of the evil inclination. Today it tells someone to go and do this, and tomorrow it says to go and do that, until one day it says, go worship idols, and that person goes and worships. The language of the condemnation here is very sharp. Indulging anger is like committing idolatry. But the logic is the same as Rashi's above. Anger takes a hold of one's consciousness so fully that one forgets even the most basic of God's laws. Anger is like a drug that fogs the mind and causes one to make terrible mistakes. What is interesting, however, is the emphasis Rashi gives to the repetition of the particular verb, liktsof, in these two examples of Moshe's anger and subsequent forgetfulness. For there are many other verbs for becoming angry in the Torah. Lacharot, lichos, lizom, litrages, each of which indicates a different version of the feeling. By calling out this particular expression of anger, Rashi means to specifically critique a certain type of anger, impulsive, unreasoned rage that bursts forth in an instant and leaves no room for compassion or consideration. Not all anger is bad, perhaps. A case can be made for justifiable anger or moral outrage. Moshe himself displays this kind of righteous anger when he sees the people dancing wildly around the golden calf, and again after he hears Datan and Aviram refer to Egypt as the real land of milk and honey. In both of those cases, his anger is described with the language of vayichar. But ketzef, that blinding fury that occludes clear thinking and seeks destruction, that is a dangerous and problematic emotion. In modern Hebrew, ketzef means foam or froth, which gives us some sense of the kind of insane rage that would have someone frothing at the mouth. It's this kind of anger that leaves Moshe incapacitated, forgetting everything he knows and attacking the undeserving. Having thus established a rabbinic critique of ketzef, we might ask if anyone else engages in this particularly dangerous form of anger. A concordance scan of the Torah reveals that there are only two other characters who indulge in such unbridled wrath. The first is the Pharaoh of Egypt. Vayiktsof paro al shnei sarisav, al sar ha-mashkim v'al sar ha-ofim. Pharaoh became angry, vayiktsof, with his two eunuchs, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the chief steward, in the same prison house where Yosef was confined. Pharaoh loses his temper, for reasons unclear, and immediately throws two men into jail. Their fates seem arbitrarily determined. One is soon released, while the other one is hanged. The only law that seems to be operative here is the impulsive will of the monarch. The only clear lesson is that one would do well to steer clear of his foul moods. Now, it may come as no surprise that a pharaoh would be prone to such outbursts. This is, after all, the great villain of the Torah, who will put an entire people into slavery at the first sign of threat to his power. When that does not work, he will move quickly to infanticide. He will stubbornly resist all pleas for mercy, even when his own family is in danger. This is a man driven by anger and who cannot think strategically, let alone contemplate mercy, when his temper has a hold of him. From such a man, we might expect the frothing rage of ketzef. The other figure in the Torah, however, from whose ketzef we must be wary, is no man at all. for the third and final angry character linked by this verb is none other than God. Indeed, this verb, liktsof, is used in reference to God more than to anyone else in the Torah. So when Korach leads a mutiny against Moshe and Aaron, and God threatens to annihilate the whole people of Israel, Moshe and Aaron themselves protest, Vayiplu al pneihem vayumru, they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, will you become angry, tiktsof, with the whole community when one person sins? And when Moshe recounts the story of the spies who brought back bad reports from the land of Canaan, he says, Vayishma Hashem et kol divreichem vayiktsof. The Eternal heard the voice of your complaint and was angry, vayiktsof. And when Moshe narrates the episode of the worship of the golden calf, he says, Ki yagorti mipnei ha'af v'achema asher katzaf Hashem aleichem lashmid etchem. I was in dread of the Eternal's anger and fury when God was angry, katzaf, with you and sought to wipe you out. And when Moshe remembers the people's constant complaining, wishing they could go back to Egypt, longing for the fine food they had back there, he says, Uva tavera, uva masa, uva kivrota tava, makzifim haitem et Hashem. At tavera and at masa and at kivrota tava, you made the Eternal angry, makzifim. Again and again and again, Moshe repeats some version of this message to the people. Zechor al tishkach et asher hiktsafte et Hashem Elokecha bamidbar. Remember and do not forget how you made the Eternal your God angry, hiktsafta, in the wilderness. From the day you went out from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebels against the Eternal. Mamrim ha'item im Hashem. In fact, when one stands back and surveys all the instances in which God is described as flying into this kind of rage, it suddenly becomes clear that they are all found in descriptions given by Moshe himself. Never does the Torah simply narrate that God became angry using this verb, as it did with Moshe and Pharaoh. That's not to say that God is never angry. Of course, God does get angry in the Torah many times, but different words are used, suggesting different kinds of anger. If God ever succumbed to Ketzef, that hot-headed, irrational, vindictive rage, it is only from Moshe that we know of it. What does this mean? It is possible that Moshe is, in fact, accurately reporting the moods of the Eternal. Perhaps Moshe can identify them so well precisely because he experiences these feelings himself. One even wonders, timidly, if he may be offering the same subtle critique of God that Rashi gave of Moshe. You are too hot-tempered, too easily provoked. Your anger blinds you and you lose all sense of justice and mercy. You are out of control and you are forgetting yourself. A more likely read, however, is that Moshe is seeing in God the anger he feels in himself. Moshe knows what it is to feel so consumed with rage that he cannot see straight. He knows how infuriating these petulant, rebellious people can be. It makes him so angry sometimes he can hardly stand it. Sometimes, if he is honest, he wishes they were dead. Then he sees God punish them, and he assumes that God must feel the same way. God understands what it is to be in the grip of this uncontrollable fury, and to simply unleash it with no thought of the consequences. This terrible anger that Moshe sometimes feels, this boiling, violent, maniacal rage, is so powerful, Moshe presumes, that not even God can control it. And if that were so, then surely Moshe could not be blamed for his own anger. So, slowly, unconsciously, Moshe begins to speak of God in a language that is actually a projection of his own inner experience of himself. This God feels all the frustration and rage that Moshe feels. This God wants not justice, but vengeance. This is a God who wants nothing more than to destroy these pathetic, whining rebels who dare to defy him. This is a God Moshe has constructed in his own image. Idolatry indeed.